chapter 8, very familiar passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 8 has probably got more meat, spiritual meat in it, not than any other passage of Scripture ever has, but it's got a lot in there. Can you say amen? And we want to look at one particular verse, but I have to read a few others just in case. Because like I said, it's hard to leave anything out. Beginning of verse 28. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And we know, say we know, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called, and whom He also called, these He also justified, and whom He justified, these He also glorified. And here's our scripture for today. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I want to say that again. If God is for us, who can be against us? Many, many times, one of Pastor Matt's things he always says, and he stands in this pulpit, he says, I just want you to know God is for you. I just want to reiterate that. It's what the Scripture says. God is for you today. Touch your neighbor and say, God's for you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace, and that You are calling us closer. Lord, help us today to hear Your heart. Help us today to know what You'd have us to know. God, just Lord, let Your anointing minister to each and every heart, each and every circumstance and situation. Lord, may we be drawn close to You. And God, may we be open and responsive to You to allow You to do within us that which You desire to do. Let the person power of the Holy Spirit impart Your word to our hearts to give us understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, but also know how to apply that which we are learning and hearing. But God, anoint Your servant to speak that which You've given us to speak. But Lord, I pray that we won't go out of this place the same way we come in, but we'll be changed for Your glory and Your glory alone. Have Your will and Your way in our hearts and our lives in this house today. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. If God is for us, what an awesome thought to know as a child of God that God is for you. Even the Scripture says in the Old Testament, if your mother and your father forsake you, the Lord will take you up. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can you say amen? But what I want us to understand, and we'll see it in this passage, that God has not only been for us today, He has been for us a very, very long time, which should encourage us tremendously. In a world and a society that is ever changing, which seemingly so many things are unstable and uncertain, there's one thing that we can be sure of. As long as we are faithful, as long as we are living a life pleasing to the Lord, as long as we're seeking after the Lord, that God is for us. Can you say amen? Amen. God has gone through great lengths to show Himself, to show His love, to show His mercy, His grace, and His strength, His purposes and His plans that He has not only for His church as a whole, but for you and I as individual believers as well. I want us to look at this more closely today. But I want you to understand something. God is for you. He's not against you. The Scripture says in verse 29, for whom He foreknew. That word foreknew means to know beforehand, to foresee. Brother Doss, I've been knowing God a long time. You hadn't known Him as long as He's known you. What you and I must understand is that God knew we were going to be way before we were even conceived. Before before Tiffany and Cam found out that there was going to be a new baby hanging around the house, and before Stephanie and Kayla found out there's going to be, God knew that baby was already planned. Can you say amen? He had already plans and purposes for that child. Already has them in the works. Psalms 139. So, Brother Doss, how do you know that? The Word of God tells us in Psalms 139, beginning of verse 13. For You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Listen to this. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I want you to notice something. In verses 13 and 14, it talks about that he covered us in our mother's womb. In other words, even when we were conceived, God had his covering. That word covering means to fence in, to protect, to hedge about. He was even sheltering them in the mother's womb, can you say, as they were being conceived and as the conception process was going on. But then he says, let's go back a little further, even before that. Verses 15 and 17 talks about that even before we were ever conceived. He says, you saw my all the things that were about me. You saw my substance even when they were unformed. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. In other words, even before we were conceived, God looked ahead and saw our lives, and he saw some good things in store. Can you say amen? And the scripture says his thoughts are precious toward us, that he's thinking about us before we were ever conceived. What an awesome thought. He foreknew us. He knew us beforehand. He foresaw us. That's an awesome thought. Think about this. Before I was ever me, he knew me. Before you were ever you, he knew you. Can you say amen? God knows us beforehand, but here's the awesome thought I thought about that just jumped out off the pages. Not only did he foreknow us, he says, your thoughts are precious to me, O God. Even before we were born, God's plans and purposes for us were in an extremely positive light. I don't want to get too far ahead. But Jeremiah 29:11, and we're going to pull it up a little bit later as well. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. He's been planning on you a long time. That tells me two things. Number one, that there's not anyone here that's here by accident. You're not here by accident. Touch your neighbor and say, you're not an accident. And the plans and the purpose that God has had for you, even from the beginning of time, were in an extremely positive light. God says, how precious are the thoughts. He's been looking out for my best even before I showed up. Can you say amen? Even before I became a twinkle in Herschel's eye. Hallelujah. Come on. You say, who's Herschel? That's my daddy. Tomorrow he'd be gone 5 years. He's up there with the Lord. But he knew us beforehand. His purposes and plans. We just didn't show up one day at the hospital. God knew you before you were born, and no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, no matter how you got here, God says, I've got a purpose and I've got a plan for your life. I foreknew you, he says. We're not just a clump of matter. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of abortion that's going to have to pay a heavy price one day. Because they're messing with God's heritage. They're messing with God's plans. They're messing with God's purposes. Can you say amen? God has incredible positive outlook upon your life from the very beginning, even before you were born. No one here is an accident. Whom he foreknew, why is that important? He also predestined us. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined us. That word predestined means to limit in advance, to determine beforehand, to appoint beforehand. There's been a lot of discussion about predestination here of late. What does it mean that he predestined us? Well, does it mean that God already chose who would and wouldn't be saved? Or does it mean more clearly that those who accept and receive his salvation, that he is that he has a predetermined purpose and plan that he has laid out for each born-again believer? I'm going to say that again. Does predestination mean that God has already chose who would and who wouldn't be saved, or does it more clearly mean that those who accept and receive his salvation, that he has a predetermined purpose and a plan that he has laid out for each born-again believer? This thing of predestination, there's a certain denomination, even here in our area, that this is splitting churches wide open, because they're saying there's nothing you can do. If God wants you to be saved, you're going to be saved no matter what you can do. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Jesus came to seek and to save all who were lost. And my Bible tells me all were sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. We have to make a choice of whether we're going to be saved or not. Can you say amen? But when we choose to be saved, then we literally step into the plans and the purposes and the predestined determination that God has for us. He says, oh, I've got some good things planned for so-and-so. I've got some good things planned for that boy, or I've got some good things planned for that girl. I've got some good things planned for that young man or that young woman, or even that old man or that old woman. You say, well, why did they wait so late? Can I tell you, God in his infinite knowledge and wisdom and guidance and grace, even when we're old and we give our hearts to the Lord, he still can work out some of those plans and purposes in your life. It's never too late. Can you say amen? Amen. If it was ever too late, there was ever a time too late to be saved, the thief on the cross would have never had a chance. But can I tell you, even at his point of death, Jesus had a purpose and a plan to save his life. Can you say amen? We've been predestined. He's got thoughts and purposes and plans. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Ephesians 2, beginning verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Listen to this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, say beforehand, that we should walk in them. How long ago was beforehand? Well, we were covered in our mother's womb and even before. Let me share with you with a little commentary. That word beforehand means this, to prepare before, to make ready beforehand. Let me share this commentary with you. Concerning election and predestination, we might use the analogy of a great ship on its way to heaven. The ship, the church, is chosen by God to be his very own vessel. Christ is the captain and the pilot of this ship. All who desire to be a part of this elect ship and its captain can do so through a living faith in Christ by which they come on board the ship. As long as they are on the ship in company with the ship's captain, they are among the elect. They have a predetermined purpose. But if they choose to never get on the ship, or if they choose to abandon the ship and the captain, they cease to be part of the elect. Election is always only in union with the captain and his ship. Predestination tells us about the ship's destination and what God has prepared for those remaining on the ship. But God invites everyone to come on board the elect ship through faith in Jesus Christ. Does that kind of explain it in a perfect fashion? I believe it does. God knew us beforehand. He has made a purpose and a plan for us beforehand if we accept Christ as Savior. But in order to step into that purpose and plan, we must accept the invitation to get on board the ship by giving our hearts and our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. The whole purpose of our walking in the purpose for our lives is that we may be conformed into the image of His Son, that not only we may be saved, but we may help lead others to salvation through Jesus Christ. Those who he foreknew, he also predestined. How do we find our purpose? Pastor Doss, how do we find our purpose? You've got to answer the call. Verse 30 says, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. That word called means to call, to invite, to receive the name of. You say, well, Brother Dawson, I'm not called to preach. I'm a Christian, but I'm not called to preach. Didn't say you to be called to preach. Well, I'm not called into ministry. All of us are called to ministry. Just different ways. But what's he talking about? We are called to be part of the body of Christ. God knew us beforehand. He has a purpose for us beforehand. But for us to be able to find out that purpose and the plan that he has already prepared beforehand, we must answer the call and come into right relationship with him through Jesus Christ, his son. You just can't come to Jesus anytime you get ready. We've got to be called. You can't just decide one morning, well, I'm going to be saved this morning. You can't do that. You've got to be called. Can you say amen? John 6, verse 44, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That word draw means to draw by inward power. That is the power of the Holy Spirit calling you and drawing you to Christ. That's why it's so important, church, that when the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, when the Holy Spirit is drawing you, that you answer the call, whether it be for salvation or to get some things out of your life or to step up to the plate or to follow the leadership of the Lord in a certain area of your life. If God is drawing you by his Holy Spirit, that's why it's so important to answer the call. Because when we don't answer the call, that it leads to out and outright rebellion. Because you're saying, no, God, my way's higher than your ways. My way's more important than your ways. And that's a lie from hell as well. Are y'all with me this morning? But we've got to answer the call. Answer the call. When Jesus calls, we've got to answer and not wait. In calling us, he's made a way that our relationship can be established or reestablished with him. And that's only through his son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that he and he alone could make. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The best we can do apart from Christ is like filthy rags compared to a holy and righteous God. But God, in his love and his mercy and his grace, sent a way that you and I could be saved through his son, Jesus Christ. Sent a way and made a way that we could answer the call. I don't know why. He doesn't just call us when everything's going good, when we look good, when we smell good, when we're acting good, when everything in our life is in order. No, God in his love and his mercy and his grace reaches down through the junk, through the missteps, through the mistakes, through the sin, through the failures in our life and lets us know, hey, I love you. I care for you. I've got a better purpose. I've got a better plan. If you'll just answer the call. If you'll just repent, I'll forgive and I'll cleanse and I'll set your life aright if you'll let me. Can you say amen? That's an awesome God. Can you say amen? That's a loving God. I'm so thankful for the call of God. It's only through Christ that God can take care of that. And these he also called. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. What's that word justify mean? The word justify means to render righteous or as such as he ought to be free. I like that definition. The only way God could render us righteous was through a perfect sacrifice, and the only perfect sacrifice that will be or ever has been given is through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world but that the world through him might be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ. Touch your neighbor and say, it's only through Jesus. I like how Peter said it in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We are only justified through Jesus Christ. We are only, when God looks at us, he has to look at us through the blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen? And when he looks through the blood of his Son, he says, when the enemy would try to say, you're a failure, you're a mistake, you're no good, you make mistakes all the time, you're still a sinner. But when God looks at us as we're trying to walk in faith and obedience to him, when he looks at us through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, he says, you're righteous, you're holy, you're in good standing, you're a faithful child of mine. Can you say amen? God looks at us in a different way because we've been made righteous through his Son, Jesus Christ. He justifies us. Only through the precious blood of Christ and our faith in him can we be rendered righteous. He did all this that we can enter into a predestined purpose and a plan that he has for our life. It's more than just a purpose and a plan. He did all this so we could have a relationship with him. Not that we could have religion, but that we could have a relationship. He's gone through great lengths so he can have a relationship with us, and we could have a relationship with him. That we can experience the purposes and plans he has had for our life from the time that he knew even before we were. And once we are justified, this is what kind of blows my mind. Of course, that's not a whole lot to blow. Don't say amen to that. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. That word glorified means to render glorious, to make full of glory and honor. How can somebody like myself, even as a born-again, spirit-filled child of God, how can my life be glorious? How can I, even though I'm a born-again child of God, or how can you, even though you're a born-again, spirit-filled child of God, how can you be, or me, be full of glory and honor? How can he render us glorious? We don't receive glory from who we are or in ourselves, but rather we receive glory from who we have become in Christ. How can we, again, who are not perfect, receive the glory of Christ? Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, are y'all with me this morning? He prayed very specifically. Beginning of verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in the who? Them. Skipping to verse 20. Excuse me. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That they may be one just as we are one. And the glory... Got to put on my glasses again. Sorry about that. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. When I'm thinking about the glory that's in Jesus Christ, I think about the Mount of Transfiguration. When Peter, James, and John went up there with Jesus on the mountain, and all of a sudden Moses and Elisha showed up, and this same Jesus that they had been walking with for 3 years is tremendously transformed before Peter and James and John's eyes, so much so that his clothing appeared brilliantly white. What was that? Did he wash his clothes in Tide? No, it was the glory of God just totally shining through his life. Can you say amen? And that same glory that's in him, he says, I have given to them. That same glory, hallelujah, that same glory that he has on the Mount of Transfiguration, and especially as he's seated at the Father's right hand, is in mine in your life. I don't give glory for who Greg Doss is. I get glory for what Jesus has done in Greg Doss's life. And as I walk in faith and as I walk in obedience to him and his word, they don't give me glory. They say, man, God has done a work in his life. He is glorified in my life as I walk in faith and obedience to him. Can you say amen? He's glorified in your life as you walk in faith and obedience to him. Whom he knows, he also glorifies. Can I tell you? We are his creation, the highest form of his creation. And he knows what makes us happy. Saw a commercial, I think it was last night. Wasn't it last night? BeHappy.com. BeHappy.com. And they give you a name of a counseling service. Glory to God. Not. You want to be happy? Draw closer to Jesus. Walk in obedience to his word. Allow him to lead and guide you. Don't work against him. Work with you. And allow his glory and his peace. I've been in this thing 25 years and I've seen it too many times. I've asked this question facetiously, knowing what the answer is. I said, when people are not walking where they need to be with the Lord, I said, tell me when you were most happiest in your life if they're in a backslidden state. And without fail, they says, when I was walking with Jesus. Amen. When I was in right relationship, I said, what are you waiting for to get back there then? Because what happens is when we're walking in grace and right relationship with him, his peace and his presence begins to take full measure in our lives. And all of a sudden, his glory begins to take hold. And there's a song in our heart. There's a song in our life. No matter what's going on around us, can you say amen? And his glory begins to show up. He begins to get glory in our life. Can you say amen? Glory is not just a doodad. Glory is when the presence and the power of God begins to fill your heart, your soul, and your mind, and all of a sudden everything else begins to pale in comparison. Whom he justifies, whom he's predestined, he also glorifies. Man, if God can do all that, he's an awesome God. Can you say amen? Are y'all still with me this morning? Christ is glorified in and through our lives as we are walking in obedience, living in the purpose and plans God has predestined us by, living in right relationship with him. Christ has given us the glory he received from his Father, that we as individuals may be one with his glorified body called the church, his church. He also glorifies us by preparing us a glorious place for eternity in heaven. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, say we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory just by the Spirit of the Lord. Woo. As we walk in obedience and as we walk in faith, he's doing a transformation. He's transforming us more into the image of his Son, from one glorious experience to the next glorious, from glory to glory as by the presence of the Lord. Then all of a sudden there's going to come one day, whether by way of the grave or way of the rapture, we're going to go from to the next glory, and it's not going to be up in here. It's going to be up there. Can you say amen? There's a glorious place that he has prepared for every born again child of God walking in right relationship. He also glorifies. He knows us beforehand. He predestined a plan and purpose for us beforehand. He called us. He sanctifies us. He glorifies us. I want you to think about this. God, who has been so concerned with your past and has prepared for you a future, listen to this. God, who has been so concerned with our past and has prepared for us a future, can surely handle anything or anyone we face in the present. I think it was the second song. And I don't usually do this, but I had to write those few words, first words down. We can't go back to the beginning. And we can't control what tomorrow may be. But it's right here in the middle, Lord, where you want me to be. And that's what you got to trust him in. Can you say amen? Here's the main point. Our God, who has done and is doing all this, is definitely for us. If God is for us, then who can be against us? If God is for us, then who can be against us? If God is for us, then who or what can be against us? With this in mind, I want us to listen to the latter part of this chapter. Romans chapter 8, are y'all still with me? We're circling. We're not coming in for close yet. We're circling. You know. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all, say all. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why do we read that? I want you to understand something. No matter what you're going through, if you're holding fast to God, you've got to know that he's holding fast to you. And his grip is a whole lot stronger than yours ever will be. Because when you become so weak that you can't hold any longer, he says his strength is made perfect in our times of weakness. So I just want to encourage you this morning to keep holding on, to keep holding fast. It doesn't matter how dark the days are. It doesn't matter how rough the storm gets. It doesn't matter how terrible the trial may become. Because if God is for you, then it doesn't matter who or what can be against you. You're going to make it if you'll just hold fast to him. Can you say amen? Nothing can separate you from God's love and God's power and God's presence. Nothing and no one. He is for you. If you're holding on to him, you're more than a conqueror through him. The scripture says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, I may not have the victory in myself, in my own strength, but in his strength. If God is for you, who can be against you? My question then to you today is two parts. Do you know the Lord? Are you in right relationship with the Lord? Is everything right between you and him? If you've never given your heart to the Lord, what an awesome day to do it. Because he gave his life for you, that you and I could be saved. Paid that price on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood that you and I could be saved, that our sins could be forgiven. Rose from the grave 3 days later, defeating death, hell, sin in the grave, and the devil. Hallelujah. If you've never accepted him as the Lord and Savior, you can. But there are times in our life when we have given our hearts to the Lord at one time. But somewhere along the line, we allowed other things to come in. Somewhere along the line, we begin to make other things a priority. Somewhere along the line, we possibly have let our relationship with God slip. and for those purposes and those plans that God has for you to be begin to come to fruition in your life, then you've got to get back in right relationship. Kind of like my little mother-in-law said to me one time. I told her years ago, I said, "Ma, I don't feel as close to the Lord as I used to." She said, "Well, who moved?" God never moved. Because God in His love and His mercy and His grace is still reaching out in love and mercy and grace to you. He wants you back. He wants you back. He's thought about you a long time. He's had those good thoughts, the thoughts of your future and the thoughts of hope and good things before you were ever born and conceived. Positive things. And He knows the things of our flesh and the things of this world can come in the way. But what He gets excited about is when His child comes back home and says, "Yes, Father, forgive me. I made some mistakes." He says, "Come on back, my son. Come on back, my daughter. Come on back, my child." He forgives and He cleanses. And He begins to release those purposes and plans again in our lives. Hallelujah. So this morning, if you've never given your heart to the Lord, or if you've strayed away and you said, "Brother Dawson, I need to come back home." We're not talking about a church building. We're talking about coming back home to the Father. Can you say amen? But the other thing is this. And this is critically important for some in this place today. Are you facing something that has troubled you and gotten you down? You may have gone through it, or you're going through it right now. I just came by to tell you that God is for you. And you've got to hold on to Him. But here's the thing. Quit trying to do it in your own strength. The Scripture tells us to cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for you. One of the things I've learned and am learning in my Christian life is when I've made some missteps or mistakes, or when life has thrown me a curve, and when I quit trying to handle it in my own strength, whatever it may be, and say, "God, I can't do this. I need Your help. I give this to You. Show me how to walk through this time." God shows up and shows out. When you give that thing completely over to Him. And there's some of you here this morning, you need to do that. You're one step away from giving God control. And God began to manifest His presence and power and purposes in your life. And that situation began to become resolved if you'll give it over to the Lord this morning. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. How crazy is it to think that before we were ever born, He was already thinking good things about us. That blows the old adage that God's just a mean old man with a baseball bat trying to beat us down. No, He's trying to lift us up. What do you need for God to do in your life today? Then the question is, will you let go and let Him have His way? Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus'